This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We're back as we continue to roll on. Two in the books, one to go. Plenty more of the big show as we enter the ever-sacred final hour. The final countdown, so
yes,
to speak, for the week. And you are not happy, my friend.
No, so I find out at the break, Kirsten comes in and says she's guessing the Ghetto Cities because she says that they did this yesterday on the Blitz. And I'm like, whoa. What the hell?
Darn it.
Hashtag thanks, Barry.
Yeah. I guess I need to listen longer. I just don't want to sit in my car for 4 hours.
Here's what you do.
So now I'm kind of disappointed. I feel like I'm getting sloppy seconds here.
Do you park your truck in the garage?
Yeah.
I think when you get home, just pull it in the garage.
I know where you're going with this. I'm not going to murder myself.
Yeah, leave it running and listen to the Blitz. Just shut the door.
Close the door. Yeah. No? Well. All right. I know you would like that, but that's just not going to happen. You're going to have to find a different way to get rid of me. But now I'm disappointed. I don't even want to do the ghetto list because I feel like that.
You should totally do the ghetto list.
But they didn't do the dumbest cities in Texas, did they? Okay. So we got that.
Well, we'll do which dumbest is nice then. Yeah. Let's get the call for the white trash first before we do the ghetto. Nick?
All right. Nick, what's up?
What's up, fellas?
What up, man?
Man, I would have thought Santa Fe would have been higher on the list than Texas City. I mean, Santa Fe is as white trash as it gets down, you know, in the Galveston County area, I would think.
Are you from that area?
More black people. Yeah, I live down in Dickinson.
Okay.
I see more black people walking around Texas City than I do in Santa Fe.
Yeah, you know, I would have thought, and maybe it had something to do with population, but what they said is they limited the analysis that to non-CDPs that have over 5,000 people. So that may have something to do with it.
Okay, well then that definitely makes sense because I don't think Santa Fe has 5,000 people.
There you go. No one wants to know. No, they don't have 5,000 people that want to live there? Okay.
Yeah, but hey, you should make the listeners create their own little ghetto list because, I mean, I can come up with, you know, a couple right off the top of my head.
Give me your top three. Hurry.
Pasadena, Lamarck, and Galveston.
Not bad. Not bad. Appreciate the call, Nick.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Nick. Have a good weekend.
I'm going to go Joel's house. That's it. That's my list. Just Joel's house. Ghetto. Do you want to hear the criteria for ghetto?
I just think that if you just get people with everything going on these days, we could get an absolute war going if you get people to start recommending cities.
I'm telling you. I'm just so sad that they did this already. I'm so pissed.
Dude, but Jog just came in here and said, just do it. It's all good.
Here's the criteria for the ghetto cities. And Skip, we're going to come to you. Don't worry. But here's the criteria. So household income levels, high school graduation rates, number of convenience stores, number of drug stores, number of discount stores, and crime. And then it had to be with more than 10,000 people. And that list, I'm just lost. It's all its luster.
You just let all the air out of the balloon.
Number 10, Texarkana. Number 9, Port Arthur. Number 8, Humble. Number 7, Houston. That's sad. Number 6, Beaumont. How did Beaumont not make the white trash list as well?
I don't understand.
I don't get that. Number 5, number 5, Big Spring. Number 4, Corsicana. 3, Mercedes. 2, Jacksonville. And 1, Balch Springs. I've never even heard of that place.
There's a town named Mercedes, and it's on that list?
Yeah, Balch Springs? What the? I don't know what that is. Or maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong.
I've never even heard of it.
Balch, B-A-L-C-H. Anyways.
I go Balch.
That's your 10 ghetto cities, which, whatever. Now I'm just...
Barry's just...
We're going to do dumb, though. I want to do the 10 dumbest cities.
Nick, Barry's hot air balloon just went...
So
all
sad.
Over.
Although,
it's gone.
The 10 dumbest cities, I don't think you're going to recognize not a single one of them.
Because I'm smart.
Oh, it's just, I've never heard of any of these places.
That surprises me.
Yeah.
Maybe it's now, the kicker, Nick, you're going to be the deciding vote if you've heard of any of these cities.
No, I won't be the deciding vote, but I'll, you know, if I recognize one, I'll let you know.
All right. Skip wants to get in here. He wants to go back to a topic we've already hit on, which was the MLB umpire. Skip, what's up? Thanks for holding.
Hey, check it out, man. First of all, love the show.
Appreciate that.
I just want to get you guys' thoughts. Why does baseball not have a situation where, you know, there's some type of technical foul or some type of warning before you just throw the guy out? You know, hockey, you get the 2 minutes in the box or whatever it is. I think soccer, you get like some red and
yellow card, then red card. Yep.
Yeah. Basketball, you get your technical foul or flagrant or whatever the case may be. But in baseball, it's kind of like you say something to the ref. I mean, you say something to the ump, and it's, you know, showers on the right.
That's a, I mean, it's a good point.
Yeah.
Skip. I mean, here's the other thing, too. When you start talking about the unwritten rules of baseball, which the other caller brought up as well, and you start talking about when one team, you know, brushes a guy back or hits him and then both teams are warned, sometimes it's the discretion of the umpire that he's going to toss a guy when it might be that the first team hit two or three guys, and it might be that the guy doesn't even hit the guy, and it wasn't even like, it didn't, and if it doesn't look intentional, he still may toss him because he's trying to make a point for the overall, the theme of the game and the feel of the game, and I don't think that's right either.
Well, I don't know about that one. I mean, if I even think that maybe a guy just threw a 95-mile-per-hour fastball at another guy, I'm throwing him out.
No, but you're missing my point. So a lot of times, the umpire, right, so say the Astros are playing the A's tonight. Say the A's hit two or three Astros players. Now they're going to warn both benches, right? So that basically takes the inside part of the plate away. But say Keuchel's going inside tonight, and one gets just a little bit away. Now, it's not going at the guy's head. It doesn't go behind him. But it's a borderline call. But the umpire can toss him immediately because he's warned both benches. And sometimes, without warning the benches, after a guy's been hit, if the other team retaliates, the umpire, because he's just had a bad day or he's got a quick fuse, he may still toss the guy on the other team without ever giving warnings. And the manager then has a conniption, and he'll toss him too.
Well, yeah, I see your point. So I would say without a warning, then you can't toss anybody out.
Yeah, because you look at, we were talking about this earlier in the week, but Angel Hernandez, the home plate umpire, and Ian Kinsler, and he calls a strike that Kinsler disagrees with. Well, the very next pitch, he doesn't call a strike, but Kinsler quickly looks back and goes, are you going to call that one too? And it is microscopic the amount of time before he goes and gives him the thumb and kicks him out of the game. And you're like, come on, man. Seriously? You also have to have some kind of thick skin in the position you're in, too. You know, yeah. Well, he didn't cuss
at
him.
I just think they need to have some type of system where you at least, you know, get a warning or something before you just throw a guy out of a game. Especially that Hernandez guy, because he needs to go anyway.
It's definitely a fair point on the warnings. I'm not going to get into the whole Hernandez thing again, but we appreciate the call, Skip. Thanks a bunch. You make some valid points. So,
what about the speed of the game, though? When you start in terms of the technical foul that he was suggesting, I mean, don't you have to like consider the fact that it'll just make the game that much longer?
It depends on what it is. If there's a penalty involved, or if you're just getting a warning. Because as it is now, umpires just come out and go to both managers and go towards both dugouts and just say, "Look."
Didn't they do that in one of the Rangers Astros series after there had been some back and forth?
Remember, they were back and forth. Yeah,
they would just come out and be like, "All right," they'll actually come before the game and give the warnings in the dugout or in the locker room. Say, "Yeah, listen, there's a warning already in place." So
yeah,
when you're going out there,
the ground rules.
Yep.
Yeah, when you're doing the ground rules, yep. Just like when the captains meet at midcourt during the Rockets games, and especially when it gets really contentious with a rivalry, and I'm trying to think of a Rockets rival over the years. Oh, Oklahoma City and the Rockets with Pat Beverly and Westbrook.
Yep.
The captains' meetings before that game even starts, the referees are going to let you know, guys, we all know what's going on here. We all know what's already taken place. So, therefore, I'm calling it extra close. I'm taking no crap at all. And if you want to get tossed, try me.
Yeah.
And that just sets the tone of, I've got control of this game.
Which is sad in a way. Because you know, the guys that are going to go out there and be aggressive.
Well, that's Pat Beverly's game, right?
Yep.
You know, Westbrook was the MVP. He could do a lot of things. But Pat Beverly, part of his game is getting under your skin, being a pest, hounding you defensively. And if they're going to call it every ticky-tack foul, you're taking him out of his game.
Yeah. So a lot of people were saying, hey, I missed yesterday's blitz, or I don't get a chance to listen. I get out of, you know, I leave this. So plenty of people that didn't hear it. So that's good.
Barry's coming out of suicide watch.
Yeah, I'm not gonna murder myself. But all texting, no tweeting said he didn't listen to the blitz, but he will today with Charlie and the guy with great taste in women. Charlie's not doing the blitz. Program note: it'll be Mike Liebeschock and Jerome Solomon on the blitz today. So just wanted to get that clear.
Because there was some miscommunication with Twitter,
right,
and other
whatever.
Things
so we're good to go. It'll be Mike Liebeschock and Jerome Solomon on the blitz. Got that.
There you go.
All right. So and then we also have a question. I'm going to give you guys a chance. I'm going to give it to you now so you can get your answer at the break. But this is from a texter. They said, need the usual suspects' wisdom. Teach me your ways of sneaking out of work early. So we'll get to that. How do you get out of work early?
All right. Okay. We'll work on that and a whole lot more coming out of a break, but don't go anywhere. And if you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us with a text or a phone call. We'd love to have you a part of the show on Friday. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. Go, go. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects in the final hour.
All texting, no tweeting wants to know if I'm going to sit in with Jerome for a few minutes. He loves the way he makes fun of me. Like, why would I subject myself?
Let me just volunteer for that.
Let me just go in there and just get...
I volunteer every Monday through Friday.
Jeez. I can't believe he said that. I swear.
Dude, how can you deny
sometimes
that?
Sometimes you're so sensitive. When I would think by now, how long have we been doing this show? How long have we been work wives?
Too long.
February. How do you not know by now that 99.9% of it is just banter? But I don't know if you know that. Like, I really feel like every day when we have our post-show hug, I feel like you really need it.
Ain't no post-show hug.
Thank you for clarifying, Nick. Thank you very much.
Joel flies out of here.
Yeah, Joel's
4:00.
Like,
I don't know why I get hammered
just
for that.
Gone.
You're not getting hammered. I don't blame you. You're trying to beat traffic.
Hell
you
yeah,
are
I am.
401, he's in the car.
If you're trying to kick it with Joel at 401, good luck. You better catch him on the 59.
The other day, did we not stay here for over an hour?
We did, and the hug, it was extra long. All right,
that's because Trey was here.
Let's get to this how to get out of work question. If you missed it, we read it before the break. Mm-hmm. Need the usual suspects' wisdom. Teach me your ways of sneaking out of work early, asking for a friend. Of course. We do have some text, but I want to get yours first, Joel and Nick. How do you get out of work early?
Well, we've already covered that Nick can't. He's right, here six and a half days a week. Mine, for the most part, is the meetings.
Okay, so you just say, I have a meeting?
Got a meeting out of the office, you know? And because most people in this world that I worked in didn't know anything about broadcasting, they couldn't question anything. If I said I was in production, if I said it was in a meeting, if I said, you know, we've got to really handle this before something happens. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. But I think he's looking for someone who's not so much as like a higher up, because you're a higher up. Basically.
Yeah, like somebody texting us that I just get up and leave, manager level expert. Like, yeah, that's okay, but this texter is probably not a manager and can't do that. So what do you do? How do you, if you're not a manager, if you're just like me, you're just Joe Schmo.
Didn't we cover this at one point?
One thing you can do is use the vehicle inspection excuse, and then when you leave early the first time, you can make it into two days of leaving early.
Because you failed?
Yeah, you failed, or the or come the in shop late. Closed or
okay.
whatever.
Now, I've done a couple of things in the past. One time, and I use this several times, but I'll say, hey, I just got a call. My alarm went off at the house. I've got to go.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And they can't really, what are they going to say? Well, no, I'm sorry. Your home is going to have to get broken into.
Yeah.
But you'll be like, hey, my alarm, huh?
You're right. They can't question that.
No,
right,
my alarm went off.
Some people said jury duty. You can't do that because then if they really want to be an a-hole, they want the document that shows you were there.
So I either do my alarm went off or sometimes I'll go in and be like, hey, I got really bad diarrhea.
I was going to say, we did talk about this before because you did the boo-boo.
Yeah, I messed my pants and I need to go.
Really?
Yeah, but I'll send that as an email. Hey, boss. I had diarrhea today, and I didn't
you
make
would
it.
Send that in an email.
And I didn't make it. If I want to go home bad enough, depends on what I'm leaving for.
It is kind of awkward to send that in an email.
But you know what? Because you know why you do that? No one's ever going to bring that up to you because it's embarrassing to them to even ask you about it. That's the whole
Unless
reason you do
Unless you got an a-hole boss that goes, hey, guess what Barry went home with?
Yeah. Oh, look, guys, it's Poopy McPoop Pants. Yeah. Welcome to the meeting.
See, if Joel Blank was your boss, that would happen.
That's exactly... That is so true. You can walk into some big production meeting at the Rockies. Oh, look, it's Polly McCrap Pants.
Hey, yeah, it's
Christy
crap.
Could make it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You might
not. You'd call out females, wouldn't you?
Oh.
Me? Yeah. No, first of all, I know about HR departments, so no. I would never have done any of that.
Yeah, and then somebody else said, tell your boss you skipped lunch, bye, and then that works. You can use that excuse numerous times. That's from Cody. I don't know if that works all the time, though, Cody. I don't like my wife's a nurse. She can't just say I skipped lunch and sorry, all these patients in the clinic are just going to have to sit there. But if she said, my husband's out of town and my alarm went off, you're going to have to get a nurse to cover my shift, I think that would work.
I think the alarm is a very good one.
You don't like pooping in your pants? That's pretty good.
No, I really
pretty
don't
strong.
Like that one. No, because he's going to look at you weird the rest of the time you know him.
It's pretty strong. You just say, hey.
Barry, you going to sit there? Why don't you just stand? This won't take that long.
But I'm telling you, especially if you want your boss to leave you alone, would you go up to a guy that crapped his pants and want to chit-chat with him all the time?
No, and I wouldn't high-five them either.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you want to be left alone, use it. Use it. You're welcome. You're welcome, Texter. Try that. Fire off that email. Hey, boss.
Barry wants everybody to send this email. He really does.
Hey, boss. I have bubble guts, and unfortunately, I didn't make it in time. I had to throw away my underwear. I'm headed home.
Without getting into too much detail, boss.
Yeah. By the way, sorry about your the break room chair or something like, and then they're like, what? And then they go in there and they're looking. They're going to believe you every time. They're not. I promise you, they're not questioning that.
I had a scared turtle.
No one ever.
Boss, I had a scared turtle poking at the back door and it turned out to be a slippery otter. And now I've got a mistake on my hands.
No one's ever replying and going, no, you can't leave if you send that. Name me one boss that would be like, no, I'm sorry you messed your pants, but I need you in that 3 o'clock. No. They're like, nope, take your crappy ass and go home.
You know, Barry, on the back of my door, I got an extra pair of trousers.
Nobody does that. No, I'm telling you, those are two go-tos. You can use both of those. I do like the car idea. I think that would work.
It's another one because you know how long it takes. That's great.
But if your boss is on to you and he walks by and sees your inspection is February.
Yeah, there's exactly.
There is a check on it. Yeah.
You got to make sure. You know what I mean? Like you can use it in the month you get your inspection
and
done.
And the other problem with that is that when you really do need an inspection, you can't use the same excuse like 4 months later. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a once a year deal. So.
It's always been my luck where I'll call in sick. Hey, I don't feel good. And then I'll go back to work 2 days later or a day later. And then I really get sick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell, man? And then, you can't call in. They're like, why don't you go home? You were just sick a minute ago. Hey, I'm out of sick time. All right. Or whatever.
I was the guy that never, and it's my dumb mistake, but I never used all my vacation and I never took a sick day.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Forget that.
And I never missed a game. So that was...
Really?
Yeah. And those were some times where, like, when your voice is going, those are some tough times.
Yeah, but didn't the Rockets, do they roll over your vacation and stuff so you would get it next year? Mm-mm. So you just lost it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. We lose ours here, and I tell you what, come November, December, if I haven't used my days, I'm gone. Bye. I'm not... Kirsten's saying they roll them over. No, I don't think so. Yeah, so I'm out.
How did you hear that?
Huh? because I can read lips. I'm a professional lip reader.
Yeah, she's playing charades through the window.
Say something to me without the
microphone. I've been talking bad about, like, I've been talking a lot of crap, you know, this whole time.
I know.
I want to make sure you guys can't hear me.
No, did you hear what she said? He tells me what you said.
I can read lips, Nick. You think you're safe in there?
Yeah.
Not safe from me.
You can't read lips.
Yeah.
He told me.
Turn your mic off and say something.
And he prefaces it.
You can't, you got to use your mouth. You can't just, like, you're not a ventriloquist. You hate me? hate Joel.
I was going to say, but Barry just told me that for three consecutive breaks when you guys were talking.
It looks like I hate Joel. What'd you say?
I said alligator voo.
Alligator boo?
Voo.
Alligator voo?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
The point is, you read lips and you couldn't make it out.
Yeah, that was terrible. That was terrible.
My lip moving was
woman. You better not ever date a deaf woman. She will hate you. What is he saying? I don't understand this guy. Yeah, you're going to have to, like, shave your mustache and really enunciate.
If you could see Kirsten's face right now.
Those are the
comments
and opinions of Barry Laminet.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Indeed they are. And if you could see Kirsten's jaw on the floor.
What did I say? I didn't say anything bad. I was talking about Nick, not deaf people. Besides, I'm not...
You were talking about deaf people.
Was I?
Yeah.
Well, no one heard it, to be offended.
I knew that was coming, too. There it is. And the is back in order. All right, we're going to take a quick one here, and we're going to return with a whole lot more. Have you heard that there's a new football stadium out that way in Katy? Have you heard how much it cost?
And we still have to do the dumb list.
Yikes.
Yeah, yeah. That
both
list
of them
is ridiculous.
Could be yikes.
Yeah, that should be on the dumb list.
There you go. So we got a little bit to get to before we turn it over to Mike Liebeschock, Jerome Solomon and the Blitz, along with a steady dose of Jong. That's at 4. We're here till then. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Suspects, half hour to go in the big show before we turn it over to the Blitz. Talking all things Texas-based.
Yeah. We did get some feedback on the text line for excuses, so I just want to get through some of these real quick. Somebody, first of all, said 100% I've used the diarrhea excuse 4 to 5 times a year for the last 3 years. I bet their boss is like, well, you need to get that checked out.
Well, the boss is going to say, if you can't pad the brakes, son, you might as well get that medically looked at.
You got irritable bowel syndrome or something.
Cork.
Zach said parent-teacher conference with school coming on. My kids are sick. A lot of people were saying
they use their kids. Yeah.
I don't think that works with cats, but I think that works with kids.
Tell them your grandma died and you have to go. Hashtag savage. That's not nice. Although, I would be lying if I didn't say that I had never used dead relative before, even when nobody died.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't do that.
But I've used an already dead grandma and just said that she died. But she's already dead, so I'm not really jinxing her. You know what I mean? Like, she's already dead.
Oh, no, you jinxed a lot of things.
Well, you can't jinx the dead if they're already dead.
Oh, yes, you can, and they can come back and kick your ass.
What? I don't think you believe that. My wife's currently pregnant. Best excuse ever. I'm sure you use that with the Rockets, right? Like, I got to go to Lamar's class.
No, because I had to. We had so many appointments and classes and stuff. Man, just pop it out already.
Yeah. Frank at 55 said, back in the day, I had a cool boss. I told him I was going to go get some ass. See you tomorrow. That's never going to work.
No way.
What boss in their right mind is going to be like, oh, all right, go ahead. Nope.
That's when the boss goes, got him. Next time I need to report this guy.
This is a good one. My wife has a flat on the side of the road. I need to go get her. Yeah. I don't think no decent boss is going to be like, I'm sorry, but you can't go. Although nowadays, though, wouldn't you think some bosses would be like, well, don't you have roadside assistance? Can't you just call AAA? Them?
Tell you what, tomorrow morning you bring in that tire with the gash in it. Let me see what that looked like. Lug that bad boy in the office.
Yeah, no problem. Just bring me a picture. Yeah.
Bring me the picture. But better yet, bring that damaged tire in here tomorrow. Let me see what you had to go through.
Just a picture. But that would be You know you work for an a-hole if they do that.
Yeah, but the fact that, like we said, that everybody's a reporter these days because they got a phone, that's exactly what the a-hole boss can do now.
Yeah.
Take a picture of you being at the... Give me a picture from the vet's office. Give me a picture from the roadside. That'll bash a lot of... Or kill a lot of... Kibosh a lot of good excuses.
Yeah. Listening to the suspects in Memphis. Love the show. Scotty H. and NASCAR Johnny.
Scotty H. Thank you very much. And Johnny.
And NASCAR Johnny. Yeah. Appreciate you guys. On the dumb list, I don't want to give it away because I know we still got other things, but OU Mike said Dumbsville, Dumbstown, and wherever OU Mike lives is the dumb cities. I would go with that last one for
sure. The last one is definitely number one on my list.
No doubt.
Without question. Yeah, and Mascotville, I think, is on that list.
Somebody had a fantasy question. It's pretty generic, but it's a good time to also mention that we're going to have Sigmund Bloom on the show. I've got to dot the I's and cross the T's, so it's not 1,000% official, but he has agreed to do the show. We just got to lock down a time and everything and a date. But we'll be having Sigmund Bloom on weekly to answer fantasy questions. But the question, and I'll give it to you as well, Joel, I'm new, and Nick, if you have input, I'm new to fantasy football. What should I draft first, wide receiver or running back? Now, I stockpile running backs. And it also depends if you're in a league that's point per reception.
I was going to say, that's a big thing.
Then it can really help. But even so, I've always looked at it as when you look at running backs, the separation between the running backs, it falls off pretty quick. There's less. When you look at receivers, that position, there's always at least two or three guys on a team, especially in today's pass-happy NFL. But the other thing is you get reception yards along with rushing yards, receiving touchdowns along with rushing touchdowns. That's why I think the running back in general has always been a more sought-after commodity in fantasy because you get both. You can get receiving yards and touchdowns as well. So I always try to go running back at least the first three rounds. If it depends on I stick to my draft board no matter what. And I'll catch some hell sometimes. What's up?
What happened?
I really want to answer that simply because that would be the all-world guest of a lifetime.
Nice.
That took me a little bit by surprise.
Yeah.
Here's what I would say to your comment. Yeah. Right. It depends on where you're drafting, because there could be a surplus. Like if you're in the middle of the first round, and it also, like you already covered, the PPR factor, the points per reception or points per carry, and how the yardage is, and also scorings, but. The big thing for me is if you're in the middle of the first round and there's a run on running backs, then I want to get the number one player at that position per se. So say at the top of the draft board, if Bell goes and Johnson goes and a couple other, and maybe another running back surprisingly goes instead of a Brown or an Odell Beckham Jr. or something like that, then I might kind of readjust that and go, well, I still want to have at least one position where I've got the best player at that position in the first round.
Okay.
But yeah, the big thing for me is the scoring system.
Okay. Nick, you have any input?
I mean, most of the leagues I've been in, it made more sense to draft the wide receiver position more first, just because of the way, just like you said, the scoring system. So in almost all the ESPN leagues that I've ever been, I went wide receiver heavy first, okay, and then I kind of went to running back. So that's right. Just where I did it.
So I guess you just text or just pick whichever philosophy.
Yeah, because the only thing is, you know, in some of the leagues I've been in, and it's a few and far between, but if you get the rare league where the quarterback gets 6 for touchdowns and, you know, and gets a really good split on points per yard, then you might consider quarterbacks, but other than that, you don't. He's right on that it's either running backs or receivers, and it's based on the scoring system and where you're picking in the draft. I've seen guys run the table on the league because of the fact that a lot of running backs went in the first round, and they, in a snake 12-person league, they had 12-1 coming back the other way and took two all-world receivers and just steamrolled people.
I think another question you'd have to kind of ask yourself is how prevalent are running backs that can do both, right? That can do run and...
Yeah.
I guess some people say they're a lot, but I tend to have, you know, I kind of struggled finding that running back that can score a lot of points, both catching and running. There are some good running backs can do. That's something I'd actually ask Sigmund in the event that we secure him weekly. But yeah, I mean,
you guys are going to love Sigmund. I mean, he's been doing game day for at least 4 years now. And on Sundays, he's great because if you call into the, if you listen on Sundays at 11:30, he comes on and he's great for filling in that last minute. Hey, who should I start in this flex position? This and that. During the week, we won't do as much of that, I'm guessing. I mean, I'm sure you guys will still have those questions, but questions like this, draft questions and, you know, who should I, you know, what matchup questions and stuff like that. So I think it'll be cool.
Cool. Hey, how about this, Barry?
Yeah.
Rick, a new listener coming into the show.
Word.
Rick, what's up?
Hey, guys, what's up? Like I said, the producer, new listener here. I know you guys are on 97.5, is that right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. And this is ESPN Radio?
That's correct.
All right, cool, cool. So the reason I started listening was Charlie Polillo is supposed to be on the station now, correct?
And that is not correct.
Oh, the sister station, right?
That's correct.
That's right.
Okay, but I was told he's gonna be on this station a couple times a week.
That's correct.
Like that.
That's
he
correct.
He was today already at 1:30.
Okay. So is this gonna be a weekly thing with you guys?
That's correct.
Every Monday, right. Every Monday and Friday, 1:30, brother.
All right, and he's gonna be on your show or a
yes.
different show or
Monday okay, and cool. Friday, 1:30 on this show. Wednesdays at
John and Raheel. Sometime between 9 and 11.
Appreciate the call, Rick, man. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Polillo is joining 1560, 11 to 1. Yep. But he'll be here Mondays and Fridays and Wednesdays. You can just sop up your Charlie Polillo with a biscuit. He will be all over the place.
I'm not going to let that happen.
No?
No.
Okay.
Not me personally.
10 dumbest cities wherever Barry is.
No way.
Yeah, that was one of the texts.
Really?
10 dumbest cities where Barry, yeah, wherever Barry is. That's or something like that. No, where Barry might be funny. Just kidding. Whatever.
All right.
Do you want to do the stadium first or do you want me to get this stupid dumb list out of the way? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We'll wait.
We'll come back with
yeah.
it. Yeah. So right now I want to tell you guys about the good folks at Gallery Furniture. Gallery's been doing it in the Houston area for over 36 years, and they want you to be a return customer. And like I said, almost all the furniture in my house is from Gallery Furniture because it lasts, it's quality, it's American-made, and there's great customer service throughout the process, even after the sale. That's the way Mac prefers to do things. And he doesn't just have marketing slogans. He's got a way of doing business. That means if you buy today, you get it tonight. Buy in within 3 to 4 hours, the furniture is delivered to your doorstep, and while the people are there delivering it, if you need something taken away or moved along the way to get the furniture in and or to make your room better, they'll help you out as well, because Mac has his staff trained to be customer service friendly and ready for the requests that come along the way. Right now, they're doing a great promotion with the Astros. They win it all, you get it all when it comes to bedroom furniture. Spend $3,000 or more on adjustable base or Macapedic or Tempur-Pedic sleep sets. And if the Astros win it all against the team from the other league at the end of the year, you get all your furniture free, free, free. Check galleryfurniture.com for all those details. But stop into one of the three locations, Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, in the Galleria at Westheimer and Post Oak, and of course the mainstay I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where like I said, it's not just a slogan, it's a way of life. You buy today, you get it tonight, and Gallery really will save you money.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, about to wrap things up. Turn it over to the Blitz right here on The Usual Suspects. One segment to go in the big show as we continue to roll on. Barry, you started this list that's never been done before and this show full of lists.
Shut up.
And we still have the dumbest cities to get to.
What did I get jealous about, by the way? Somebody texted and said, did Barry just get jealous? What did I get jealous about?
That's a good question.
I have no idea.
I'm trying to think of what that was.
I don't know.
You already lead the league in excuses for how to get out of work, so there was nothing to get jealous about there.
Yep, I have no idea what I would have been jealous about, but maybe. No. Oh, Polillo? Was that what it was? Did he think I was being jealous that he was bringing up Polillo?
I don't know.
No, I'll tell you the truth, Texter.
Throughout the show.
I'll tell you the truth. It wasn't jealousy. You could tell in the dude's voice that he was going to start trolling. We kind of all agreed that he might have been trolling. We weren't sure. So I was just keeping it short because I was ready for the troll job. That's what it was. No jealousy here. I like Polillo. I've already said, Charlie, I grew up listening to Charlie Polillo. He was one of my favorites in the city. No jealousy at all. All right, 10 dumbest cities in the state of Texas. I'm going to venture to say you guys have heard of less than two of these cities. That's what's sad about this, is that I don't even recognize most of them, but here's the criteria. Percent of the city's population with less than a high school education, ages 25 or over, and percent of high school dropouts ages 16 to 19. So that's what they're constituting as the dumbest cities in America. Population had to be greater than 2,000, leaving them with a list of 457 cities from which to choose. Number 10, Haskell. No idea.
What?
Number Haskell? Nine. Number Haskell. Nine, Marlin. Number eight, Sullivan City. Number seven, Bellmead. Number six, Senton. Number five, Yoakum. I have heard of Yoakum.
You have?
Yes. Dwight? Number four, Robstown. Number three, there's a San Diego, Texas. This is what baffled me about this.
San Diego.
Oh, San Diego.
Okay. Number two, Elsa, and number one, Mathis. What? Are you mean to tell me, I guess, per capita, Dallas didn't make that list? How is Dallas not one of the dumbest cities? Could someone please explain that to me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I've been there. I've been there several times. They're not making the smartest city list. I promise you that. That's why they call it the Big D. It stands for dumb. I don't understand how that doesn't make
the
list.
You're just rolling
right now. I don't understand that. But that's your 10 cities that are on the dumbest list.
Okay.
So a bit underwhelming, but it fascinated me that I've only heard of one of those. Had you guys heard of any of those cities?
I had not. I mean, I'm not.
Sullivan,
I haven't lived here
just
my whole life.
It sounds kind of familiar, I guess.
Yeah.
But other than that, no.
Honestly, I'm surprised. And somebody said, why didn't Cut and Shoot make the white trash cities?
Yeah, I was going to actually throw that out there.
I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because if you remember the criteria, it was the number of dollar stores. And I doubt they have a dollar store that's too expensive.
So. Oh, boy. Wow.
So.
Speaking of too expensive.
Don't they have a nickel store? A dime store? No, sir. It's not the 1950s anymore. There's no more five and dimes. All right, go ahead.
So, in Katy, Texas,
yeah,
they debut tonight, and they've opened up now their $70 million high school football stadium that around here, I don't think anybody's making quite a big deal about. But for some odd reason, it has led and become a national story on Good Morning America, on the Today Show. They all broadcasted live this morning. My wife's station was trying to go out there to do a live shoot. They turned them down because they knew that they were going to have the big dogs in town. And this is a big, big deal. Now, I mean, since I've been here, I understand how big high school football is in
yes.
the state and how big football is in general.
There's right? a guy back there behind the glass that won't shut up about high school football. Hi, Mike Liebeschock. It's ridiculous.
But see, and I was telling you guys in the break, like when I first got here and I went to a football game where there was over a high school football game, there was over 10,000 people at the game.
You said it was Jersey Village?
Yeah. Jersey Village was playing in the game, and okay. I'm not sure where the stadium was exactly at the time, but it was fantastic.
Now, have you gone since? I mean, do you go to high school?
I do, and Lisa's dad being a high school football coach, when he comes to town, rather than see anything else sporting-wise, he loves to go. And out by us in Sugar Land, you basically have a game almost every
That's
night.
So weird to me. Because I feel like unless you have kids, why? Like you said J.J. Watt goes.
In Pearland at the Rig, he's notorious for being the guy that goes up on top of the press box so that no one sees him, but he just sits there on Friday nights and watches the games.
Doesn't that strike you as weird? Like if Lisa's dad wasn't here, would you go to a high school football game and just watch it? Not having any kids at the school.
Would if the game featured something that players that interested me that might be getting Division I big time scholarships.
Really?
Oh yeah.
My goodness. I
know
guess
everybody thinks I only do that
it.
For basketball games when I'm not in my basement watching NBA tapes.
I know you
but
do that.
I love sports, and I love it. Like to me, the biggest thing that was really kind of astonishing to me when I got to Houston was I go to a U of H game against the number one ranked Kentucky Wildcats, mm-hmm. and there might be 3,000 people in the building. But I go to a Friday Night Lights football game and watch high school football, and there's over 10,000 people.
Yep.
That's crazy. I'm looking at a game with like John Wall or NBA guys all over getting ready to take the floor against the U of H. I could have picked my seat.
Yeah. And now you've got, what? How much did they, you said the referendum for the stadium originally was?
It was a lot higher, and they had a lot higher aspirations for all the bells and whistles. And the first one got rejected. The second one was approved. This one, $70 million. It has luxury suites. It has a full Jumbotron video board in one end zone. The one thing that did kind of strike me, though, is the superintendent said, you know, this is for, obviously it's for eight different high schools to use, but he goes, football is going to be like the smallest thing that uses this thing. I mean, it's going to be football, but then we know we've got cheerleaders. We've got drill teams. We've got bands.
Now, I could see if they had like a marching band competition or the drill.
Right. But you can't tell me that they're going to fill the dates. Yeah, come on.
And the number of people that are going to that isn't going to be the same as high school football.
No. If you're looking at it by dates booked for the different events, that's one thing. But if you're looking at people in attendance for these things, it's not even close.
No. $70 million. Seems like a huge waste of taxpayer money for a high school football stadium.
It's a lot of money.
It's, I mean.
Now supposedly, and I can see their way of thinking when they propose this too, is they're going for naming rights. So they'll whatever they get, they'll put back in. They have suites.
Oh, come on now. They're
so
not putting that back in.
If you sell corporate suites, you can try and get some of it.
You really believe they're putting that back in?
It ain't even close to that. Well, I think they should.
No, hell no. They're not giving that money back. That's just like these toll roads. Don't worry. There won't be toll roads forever. Now there's more toll roads than there's ever been. They're not giving that naming rights money back if the district can make that money or someone can make that money. I doubt very seriously. $70 million for high school football. How much was the Astrodome when they built it? I wonder.
Still paying on it, whatever it is.
Was it?
Yes.
I wonder if it was close. Because it was built in the 60s, right?
I bet you, like the Compaq Center, I bet you it was more than that stadium cost more than what the Compaq Center cost when it was built. Because I want to say the Compaq Center when it was built was like $35-40 million.
$35 million.
For the Dome?
For the Astrodome.
I knew there was a number like that floating around.
Stupid money. $70 million for a high school stadium. Now, are you in that district?
I know.
Okay, so you wouldn't be upset then.
No, but it's not like it's not going to get used, though, because when you look at like when Lisa's dad was in town and I was looking at the schedule, boy, every night of the week and sometimes two games in a night, it's fantastic. The fact that from the standpoint of if you do want to see high school football, the venue does get used.
It's nowhere bigger than Katy, right? I guess around here anyway.
Yeah, because they have like eight high schools and they're having like scheduling issues because of all the eight high schools that they had. Yeah. So this is supposed to solve a part of that problem.
It just seems like I think you could have built
a way to solve it.
I was going
to
say, couldn't you have built a stadium that could have accommodated the teams without spending that much money?
Yeah, across the country, though, the reason why this was such a big story is because it's bigger than most colleges have for their stadium.
Money-wise, right? Not seating-wise, but money-wise.
No, yeah, because seating-wise, I think it only seats like 12,000.
And I know we got to go, but why the hell wouldn't they let Lisa in? That's rude.
No, their station. They wanted to do live, but they knew that they couldn't let her in because it'd be trumping Good Morning America and the Today Show.
Well, damn them.
Well, there you go.
Damn those people.
There you have it. All right, before we wrap it up, I want to tell you about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire. They are the number one place to go for custom wheels and tires in Houston. You can soup up a classic 69 Camaro to your recently brand new car that you want to have a special and unique look and sporty feel to it. Wheels and tires are the way to go, and there's no better place to go than American Wheel and Tire. I've been good friends with the owners, Mike and Tammy Gus, for over 15 years, and I assure you they're never going to steer you wrong. They're going to be honest and upfront. From a flat fix to a dent rim to just making your wheels and tires upgrade from what you got stock when you bought the car. Locally owned and operated, you can't go wrong, and I'm telling you, pro athletes across the city of Houston have been going there to soup up their rides for the longest of times, and you can do it too at fair prices with expert craftsmanship, stellar customer service. It's what you get at American Wheel and Tire. Check them out. Family owned and operated for over 30 years. Massive selection of wheels and tires. Check out AmericanAndWheelAndTire.com. Or head them up right in person, 290 and 34th Street. For Barry, for Nick, I'm Joel. We're wrapping it up. Have a great weekend. The Blitz is next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.